and always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Scheman, along with Pete Shepard. Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Now, you being the California stud that you are, living out in L.A. for 10 years.
Yes.
Has Craig Scheman ever, you know, gone surfing with the dudes in the ocean?
No, I actually have never surfed.
How about boogie board?
I have paddle boarded before, which I don't like.
What about boogie board?
No, boogie board. I see kids boogie boarding around here in the waves. I don't. It doesn't look fun to me to go slide in 2 inches of water and then wipe out.
No. That's
what a boogie board is.
No. Boogie board is. It looks like a small surfboard that you ride waves in. Not the thing you throw in the sand and skim.
Thing you throw in the sand is a boogie board.
Boogie boards are it may be a boogie board in Cal. Boogie boards are the ones that are the smaller ones that you get on and you ride in waves with.
That we call those surfboards.
No, it's not a surfboard. I know you know what a boogie board is.
Rick Church, it's the man from Minnesota.
It's not even a surf. It's usually got a foam background.
I think when I think of a boogie board, I think of something like you lay on and you has handles and.
Most of them don't have handles, but it's usually about, I don't know, 4 feet long, and it's usually got a wrist thing for your wrist,
right.
Not your leg, but for your wrist. But no, boogie boards are very, very popular. The ones you're talking about, the skimmers where you throw it on the thing and you skim it.
Yeah.
That's called something else.
Okay, so that's what I call a boogie board.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you know what a boogie board is.
We'll agree to this. Okay, yeah. No, but, I've never done that.
Really?
I wanted to, just never got around to it, and...
Skimboard, exactly. Skimboard.
Skimboard.
The one you're talking about is called a skimboard.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
See, I agree that that doesn't sound fun, but the kids that do it really well, it's fun to watch them.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch them wipe out, too, sometimes.
You talk about all these waves. I mean, the waves, when I lived in Southern California, the waves weren't much different than what they are here on a wavy day, to be honest with you. If you want bigger waves in California, you have to go to Northern California, more toward the Bay Area and Northern California. But there's a lot of sharks in the water over there.
Well, I think like the swells at Sanibel are different than the ones in Fort Myers Beach. I mean, I used to love to body surf back in the day.
And it all depends. I've seen some really violent days out at Sanibel, and I've seen it like a sheet of glass. Now, the best waves I ever saw... I was broadcast, the Citadel's playing in one of those Hawaiian December basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
And so we got to go there, and we were on Oahu, and
That's
the waves
level.
On the North Shore.
That's a different level.
No, I know. Pipeline. It's unbelievable.
And I love body surfing big waves. About 10 feet is my limit. It had to happen.
So you have surfed?
I have body surfed, and I have boogie boarded. I've never into surfing.
Yeah.
Itself, but boogie boarding, you do it's almost the same thing. You can ride the curl. It's just you're on a boogie board. You don't have to stand on it or anything. It's on. But body surfing, I used to love doing that.
Now I liked Baywatch. Does that count? There's some surfing there. And
no.
Oh, okay.
Another show I never watched.
Never?
No. Despite all the beautiful people, no, it just wasn't my thing. It looked very.
Do you know who
bimbo-ish.
Pam Anderson is?
Of course,
okay,
I know.
I just
of checked. Course,
you know who David Hasselhoff is?
Of course.
Okay,
I associate David Hasselhoff with Knight Rider.
I remember Knight Rider.
No.
But Baywatch, I think, is the most successful syndicated show of all time.
Yeah,
worldwide.
Because everybody's naked.
Well, no, I mean worldwide it airs.
Yeah,
I mean, you go in every
agreed.
Country.
I just never got into it. I know it wasn't about it. I just never got into it. And it was also on like Friday nights back in the day, wasn't it?
I don't recall. I was watching Miami Vice on Friday nights.
I was not home on Friday nights
back
a lot.
Then. All right. Plenty of NFL. By the way, I want to get this out because there are mixed reports. So Marcus Paul is on the Dallas Cowboys staff. He had a medical emergency today. They sent the whole team home. There are reports, and there are false reports.
Yeah, that he...
That he's dead.
Yes, I saw
now,
that.
Now, it was apparently a life-threatening situation. But I just saw on TMZ, I mean, he's still very much alive in an emergency, and they're trying to help him out. So.
Yeah, I saw the false reports. So that's why I didn't want to say anything.
Right. All right, plenty more NFL reaction to get to. And we're still talking about last night's game, the Buccaneers and the Rams. What's wrong with the Bucs? They should be better than their 7-4 record. Chris in the Cape also wants to check in, probably to fire Jim Harbaugh. Chris, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Very good. Yeah, what's you on your mind today?
How about that win?
Well, it's not about the win. Well, I guess you could say it's about the win because obviously the team showed gut to come out in there and do that. And I think they had a – I want to say that's a find-myself kind of game because the team is very inexperienced and I'm still on the down about Jim. But my mark question is, what did you think about McNamara coming in again, second week in a row, and like, I don't know. I think he's, I'm not saying he's the future, but it's a good direction to start. I mean, Milton hasn't done anything all year. Why not go with this kid for the rest of the year?
I don't know why he hasn't been all year based on what I've seen. I don't see practice. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I don't know why that kid's not the starter.
But again, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, Chris, too. We have said this before, I think twice already. This year for Michigan, right? One game, yes, great. And he looked fantastic. 27 and 36, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns. But have we not said this before? You even said it before a couple times this year. You thought you had the right guy. Maybe this is it, finally.
I don't know. I think the team is – I wouldn't even consider that a successful win on Saturday because it's Rutgers. And they're rebuilding too, but – I don't know. I'm just on a pure quarterback standpoint, you thought Milton was going to be the guy, maybe this guy's, I don't know. I'm watching a play and I feel like his touch is so much better.
I agree.
And if you look at Joe's, Milton, they're nice. It's nice throws.
If you look at Joe's stats, he's completed 57.2% of his passes, Milton, 1,056 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4 picks. McNamara is completing percentage 67.4%, 5 touchdowns this year, no picks. So I think you got to ride with him the rest of the way, unless he really, really craps out or gets injured. I think you stick with him.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, guys. Have a nice one. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Chris. Appreciate it. Man, I tell you, I remember when Chris would call in the show and have all sorts of unbridled enthusiasm talking about the Wolverines. And you can hear the defeat in his voice. It's sad. And it's sad. I like Michigan, too. I just... It's sad. He's beaten down.
Yeah,
I forgot to ask him how much he thinks Ohio State's going to beat him by this year. I mean, that trend's not going to get better.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Red's very upset. How do you live in Florida? Don't know the difference between a surfboard, boogie board, and a skimboard. I do. I just said I never did skimboards because I know it wiped out even when I was in great shape.
I didn't know it was called a skimboard. I thought it was called a boogie board. And I know what a surfboard is, and that's all.
And you know what a boogie board is, too.
Yeah.
I know, apparently.
All right. That's all good. All right, let's get back to the NFL a little bit. First of all, one of the Thursday games for the holidays is going to be Baltimore and the Steelers. They got COVID outbreaks, 5 more today. So we'll see what happens there. Here's Mark Andrews, tight end, on their backs being against the wall.
Yeah, there's definitely an urgency. We got to start winning games. And we got the players to do it. We got the guys to do it. This is still a very talented football team. And, people are starting to count us out, and that's fine. Our back's up against the wall. And we got a lot of good character guys on this team that are going to fight their way through this. And so, I don't lack any confidence in our ability and what we can do in this last stretch of the season. So I'm excited to go show the world what we can do. And, we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. But I'm confident.
I think you could put the Ravens in almost the same category as the Buccaneers. On paper, big expectations this year. Not horrible, not bad, but not what they should be at this point of the season.
Yeah, but they're struggling. Theirs is a little different. There's a defense. Offensively, the Ravens should have put together the same game plan they did the first game against the Steelers. They ran right through them. They couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
It's just your quarterback turned the ball over 4 times. On the other hand, I know Connor's been a little slower this year than last year, but he should have another field day. Maybe not like Derrick Henry does, but that line is completely banged up. The Steelers should be able to run the ball. The 3 starters are out for the Ravens.
Yes.
And, I don't see why they will not have any problem running the football. And certainly they have other weapons, too. So I think the Steelers are in great shape, but, overall. However, they do have to tighten up on defense against the run. The Ravens just buried them and really should have won the game. If you just saw those stats, you would have said, oh, they won by 3 touchdowns, the Ravens.
Right.
Instead, they lost.
Here's John Harbaugh talking about all the COVID reports popping up. He says it doesn't do any good to be frustrated about the COVID news.
Yeah, I don't really have a frustration meter. You know, it's not the way that we think. I don't think you can afford to think that way in football, or I don't think it's real real productive in life. So just, you know, meet it as we find it, deal with it, and make the best of it. That's what we're doing. Our guys are doing a good job with it.
All right, more of this. Let's squeeze in another call here. Here's my man, Otis. Welcome to the show, Otis. How are you today?
What's up, Otis?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. Very good. Now, are you gonna take Thursday off? You're a hardworking guy. You got to take some time off this week, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, Thursday I won't do anything, but there's always Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but how about those Rams, man? You know, if they don't get a couple of bad calls early in the game, they probably blow Brady them out. I couldn't believe some of the PIs they were giving Jalen Ramsey on, you know, nothing. They're not quite as bad as the Purdue one, but, yeah, you know, they did them, and they were one pass interference away from beating Buffalo, so they should be 8-2.
Yeah.
Really?
But we know there's a lot of shoulda, woulda, couldas, you know, though, in the NFL. What should have happened is Bruce Arians should have taken himself out of the game for that pathetic play calling again and take Leftwich with him. Because that's what did that make.
They're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year, man. All of that was just talk.
Not playing like that.
They're not going. I don't care how good they look on paper. The Browns are good on paper.
I agree.
But they'll eventually screw it up and won't give Hunt and shove the ball. And, you know, they'll go back to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I kind of blew a lot of picks. So, you know, you guys weren't the only ones. I was horrendous against the spread.
It's tough, man. It's tough sledding.
About 2-6. 2-6.
Wow! Yeah, yeah. It can happen.
It happens. It happens, Otis.
Six of them went 8-0. And six of them went 8-0, and two of them were girls.
You know, Otis, does it crack you up when you watch on NFL Network or ESPN and guys pick games? And it's not talking about the Daily Wager, but the other shows where they just pick winners. Anybody can do that,
right?
And they put winners, themselves like, winners, who cares about picking winners? Pick against, show all the numbers against the spread. That's what counts.
That's for real.
my spread sucked, but I was happy that Tennessee picked it up. Because I like to see Derrick Henry run all over everybody. Really, all the Alabama running backs did well except Ingram. But, I mean, Ingram's getting a little older. But all of them, Jacobs, him, Drake, they all are doing pretty well, all the Alabama backs. And, you know, I guess Tua had a little bit of a hiccup. Probably Herbert will win Rookie of the Year. If he doesn't, I don't know who you give it to. I know that running back. I know there's a couple of young running backs, but Herbert.
Yeah, I think Herbert's got it.
Herbert's right in the lead.
Now that Burrow's gone.
Right.
I mean,
that was sad.
I don't think anybody's going to beat Herbert. Win, lose, or draw. I mean, even if he loses his games, he's always in it.
Right.
So, I mean, he's very good. And then one other thing before, I know y'all got to go here.
That's all right.
I keep hearing a lot of bad college basketball stuff. I mean, if they don't get their crap together and go ahead and start so they got time to make up games, it's going to be an atrocity.
I almost think they should delay. We're at the crux of where the football season could go one way or the other. I mean, we had 16 games canceled, postponed last week, 15 the week before. This is when we're starting college basketball.
Back in July, that you would even be here talking about that?
No, I know, but I think we need to get through this little Thanksgiving little deal here and get everybody back and healthy. I always thought college basketball would wait to January 1 and start with conference play, and Rick Pitino wants to push back March Madness into May Madness. I don't think that's a horrible idea. I don't.
Don't listen to Rick Pitino, because you still got to remember you got a 99.8% recovery rate from COVID.
Right, that's true.
You got 99.8.
Yeah.
I mean, some, you know, that they're going to get well and go on and do whatever they got to do.
Yeah.
So always keep that in mind about to stop the spread thing is probably one of the stupidest things I've heard in my 49 years. You can't stop stuff from spreading.
Yeah.
Everything that's ever hit man has spread and did what it do and then disappeared. I watched a documentary on the Spanish flu. It was wiping people out. They thought, you know, the population was going to go, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
Once you got through full herd immunity, because you were designed by the Almighty to overcome everything. Not a vaccine, but you were designed by the God Almighty to heal yourself. So remember that. All those people that are claim to be faith believers, but they want to get stuck by something that some mad scientist created. Remember, you got 99.8% chance of healing with nothing.
All right, Otis. If we don't talk to you, if we don't talk to you tomorrow, have a good Thanksgiving.
Have a great
man.
Thanksgiving, you and your family.
I appreciate it.
And you know, it stinks too with college basketball because Gonzaga and Kansas are here, as is Auburn and St. Joe's.
If I hear you mean here in Southwest Florida?
Here in Southwest Florida, not too far from here. Going to play at FSW, and no one's going to be able to see it.
Yeah.
And we had talked about, you know, months ago, doing our show that day from down there. The first game's at 1:30, but we would have found a way to do it. It's just such a shame.
Yep.
You got the number one team in the country, Gonzaga's one, Kansas is six, and then you know, we got a good Auburn against St. Joe's in the nightcap there. And on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of games. College basketball starts tomorrow in the afternoon. And there's a bunch of teams. I don't remember this many teams ever playing on Thanksgiving Day. There is a ton of games on Thanksgiving Day.
There was always like the Bahamas tournament and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me squeeze in some more sound here regarding the NFL. And don't forget, we got Red Alert Tuesday coming up right around the corner. Here is Mike McCarthy. Apparently gave a big speech about sledgehammers and watermelons before the Minnesota game. Let's take a listen.
Well, I think like anything in this game, it's important to have fun. You're always trying to, you know, create emphasis in your messaging, and that's really where it came from. We're just using the approach, just honoring a great comedian, you know, Gallagher, and it's just an idea that came up, and we went for it, and the players were into it, and we had some fun with it.
All right, here is you know,
Gallagher, not funny, by the way.
Never
found him funny.
I don't think he's funny.
The first time he smashed a watermelon in front, I thought that was okay.
I'd be pissed if I were in the front row.
Well, they give you a plastic covering.
Yeah, I don't need that.
And
that's not comedy to me. I don't get Carrot Top.
But I never
ran into Carrot Top at a Houston airport
funny.
Once. The guy's yoked, though. Like 2% body fat.
Oh, yeah.
All muscle. Well, here's Mike McCarthy on actually packing his sledgehammer.
When you take your sledgehammer on the road, can you put it in the overhead bin, or do you have to check it?
Well, that's the beauty of flying charter. So it's packed in a nice, safe bag.
Okay. Good comedy there.
Al Groh, back in when Parcells was coaching the Patriots, and Al Groh was defensive backs coach, you would bring a shovel.
Yeah.
And they'd stick a shovel in the ground, like, you know, as a symbol. And he used to take it on the road, too.
Yeah. Exactly. I saw real quick. Speaking of such things, I saw the highlights of the South Korean World Series was last night.
Yeah,
and it looks like their trophy is like the Excalibur,
the sword in the stone.
Sword, yeah.
Really?
It was a big. You've seen highlights of it. Pay closer attention next time it's on.
All right, I will. I haven't seen it yet. But
doing the Excalibur thing. I don't know. Let's see here. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Red Alert. I still have some sound on Brian Flores talking about Tua. We've got Joe Judge checking out on the Mark Colombo spat and firing. And Mike Norvell taking shots back at Dabo Sweeney. So we'll get into all of that. But Red Alert Tuesday and Masterpiece Theater around the corner. And later on, Wikipedia are going to do Queen trivia.
Nice.
Because we lost Freddie Mercury on this day in 1991. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we go in the Pete Shepard time machine from his days at WEEI. We'll have fun with that as well.
Yeah.
We continue, so stay with us here. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheman and Shepard.
I'm Craig Sheman with Pete Shepard. It's Sheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a Red Alert Tuesday, coming up in just seconds. Red Alert, in which we put people, teams, and situations on blast. It's round robin style. Rick Church, would you like to participate today? Do you have anything on your chest you need to get off?
Really don't. No, I just thought about that, but I don't, you know.
I got one for you anyway at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. One dedicated to me works?
Yes.
Very good. I like that. All right, well, let's do it. It might be a shorter version then with just two of us for the most part, but that's okay. So, Rick, you fire the laser blasts, and then we take it from there. Are we ready to go? Are we ready to put people on blast? All right. Rick Church, fire away at will.
Red alert. Quadruple. Bruce Arians. Uh-oh. Start changing the way you coach this football team, or you're going to find yourselves out of the playoff hunt. It is embarrassing, the play calling this year, so many times, where you're not putting your team in position to win. This is on you. The majority of this is on you, and somebody else will be in red alert in a couple of seconds here. But red alert, Bruce Arians. Enough with the 5 and 7 step dropbacks. Please.
Okay.
Embarrassing.
Very good. Red alert, Tom Brady, but not because of the two interceptions. He was outed on national TV last night, as you know, to get ready for the primetime game in which the Buccaneers have been struggling. Bruce Arians has had the team practicing at night. Apparently, the old man Tom Brady's bedtime is 9:15, and he was not happy with Bruce Arians changing his very regimented routine. Red alert, Tom Brady up past his bedtime.
Red alert, Byron Leftwich. Rewind a minute ago and hear exactly what you are a big part of this as well. I don't understand the play calling. I don't understand why Bruce Arians let you get away with it. It has been way too inconsistent. You are not putting your football team, one of the greatest offenses I've seen ever assembled, when healthy on paper, like they were last night, and you. The inconsistencies, I told you, it's disgusting and it's embarrassing and it has to stop. Red alert, Byron Leftwich, OC of the Bucks.
Red alert, Matt Patricia. Enjoy your Thanksgiving Day game tradition. It will be your last. In fact, it might be your last game as a head coach, period. Red alert, Matt Patricia.
Red alert, Leonard Fournette. Catch the football. End of story.
Wow, you're all over the Buccaneers.
Oh.
Red alert, Pete Shepard and his New England Patriots. You do not get to 500 with a win against the Texans this week. You lose. Good day, sir. You're not going to the playoffs. Red alert, Pete Shepard and your New England Patriots.
Red alert, College Football Playoff Committee.
Uh-oh.
Going to be real interesting to see. Not so much who's in the top four. I think we all know the top four is going to be Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. Maybe Clemson gets flip-flop with Ohio State, but probably not. But for the future, I put the College Football Playoff Committee on red alert. If Cincinnati, Texas A&M, Florida keep winning, you're going to have, and God forbid Ohio State doesn't get to play 6 games, you're going to have some splaining to do. So get ready. I'm all over you, watching you like a hawk. College Football Playoff
Remember
Committee,
when
red
this,
alert.
What time is this announcement? They used to
7 o'clock.
They used to sandwich this in between two primetime college basketball games back in the day, right?
Yes.
And
yeah,
the whole halftime.
Tonight it's at 7 o'clock.
All right, very good. Red alert, Ohio State Buckeyes. Yeah, you won, but Michael Penix Jr. Racked up 491 yards and 5 touchdowns on your secondary. And that was when you were expecting the pass on every play because you couldn't run the ball. Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones will light you up in January into secondary. And by the way, little side note, Justin Fields, I know why Georgia got rid of you. 3 interceptions against the Hoosiers. You stink. Red alert, Ohio State.
My last one. This is dedicated to Rick. Red alert, Minnesota Vikings. Just when you thought they were flipping, turning the page, should have been at 500, you go. And to Dallas, a team that's really been struggling, and you lose 31-28. Cowboys look good. A lot of people think this is the win that's going to propel them to win that pathetic division. I still think it might be the Giants, but anyway, very disappointing. Okay. After Kirk Cousins wins on Monday night for the first time, you come back on the road, and as usual, we say it all the time, team that goes on the road the next week after a Monday night win, what happens? Yeah. Very frequently they lose. But Red Alert Minnesota Vikings, very disappointing.
Any response to that, Rick? Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins played well.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys played the game of the year. Yeah. They really did. The Vikings didn't play that bad. I didn't get to watch it. But I watched, you know, the extended highlights afterwards. It's like, you know, Andy Dalton played like Andy Dalton. They were this was the Cowboys team we expected from the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, probably. Well,
Ezekiel Elliott had over 100 yards. I mean, but Thielen had 123 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Cook had 115 yards rushing.
The Vikings did not play bad.
No, they didn't.
That's all I have to say.
That's why it's an
embarrassing loss. But this is the Cowboys team we thought was going to be here from week one with Andy Dalton.
Yeah. All right, I got two more. Red alert, Houston Rockets. Everybody's been wheeling and dealing. Free agents have been moving. Trades have been happening. Guess who's still on your team? James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They both want out. They're both going to be unhappy. Nobody has traded for them yet. You are stuck with them. But then again, you wanted to be uncomfortable with them because you're not giving them up for free. Red alert, Houston Rockets. And final red alert is also regarding the NBA. And Gordon Hayward, it was nice knowing you, buddy. I know you took the $120 million. Many of us would have done the same thing. But you're going to Charlotte. You'll never be heard from again. You had a nice career. I hope it works out well for you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward, thank you for participating. Red alert. All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, you, Rick, you did that.
That was a lot of work just pushing that button. I don't know how Chris does it.
You executed that perfectly.
It works out.
Yeah, exactly.
It works out.
Stammer Time says, Tom Allen's speech had me ready to run through walls. Yeah, me too. I love all of his post-game speeches.
Yeah.
239, Red Alert, Pete Shepard. It's not Tom Brady's fault. Everybody else's fault.
People are just tuning in. Go back. I'm not going to go through the big rant again. I pointed out all the facts, and I'm not alone on an island on this. I mean, if you've watched this team all year, you can hear the podcast and hear me go rant for 20 minutes. I broke it all down. I'm right. This is not, of course, the players and Brady deserve some responsibility, no question about it. But Bruce Arians and the offense is not putting that team in position to win. It's embarrassing the talent that's on that team. And like I said earlier in the show, in case you missed it, if Sean McVay or Bill Belichick were coaching the Buccaneers, they'd be 9-1. They'd have one loss.
Wizard of Oz says, Red Alert, Pete was right. Acquiring Antonio Brown will be the Bucs' downfall.
That's not even it.
No.
I mean, he was fine last night.
He's been okay. I mean, he's getting his 5 or 6 catches for 50 or 60 yards.
He had 8 last night for 57, yeah, and that's fine.
But that's not AB. AB needs...
Yeah.
He seemed a lot more explosive joining the Patriots for one game. I don't know. I actually expected more out of him, to be honest with you.
There's so many weapons out there. I mean, Gronk only had 2 catches last night. Evans had 5 for 49. Godwin had 7 for 53. Both Godwin and Evans had touchdowns. It's just.
I'm glad you mentioned that real quick. So the Godwin touchdown.
Yeah.
That was because of AB.
Yes.
AB took a double team and they forgot Godwin on the outside and he ran in for the end zone for a touchdown.
It's. You can't cover everybody. Yeah. That's why it's so frustrating, because the talent on this team offensively, and they have a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
And I know Goff, you know, had some short touchdown passes last night and threw for 376 yards. I get it. But still, Tampa has got a good enough defense to get to the Super Bowl. But you can't get there being coached like this, the inconsistencies. And you can't have Bruce Arians keep throwing Brady under the bus. Does he deserve some responsibility for the 100th time? Yes, he does. But anybody who's watched this team play all year long will tell you they are he's not coaching well. Mm. Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are not putting this team in good enough position to win. And a lot of it's the same old stubbornness, risk it for the biscuit crap. It's a lousy philosophy. It's why you haven't won anything, Bruce Arians. Nothing. And you're screwing this team up by the way you're coaching. You better change your style. Or if that team ever misses the playoffs, man, you should get fired.
239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776, if you want to jump on that. Again, the Buccaneers, and it doesn't get any easier. They got the Kansas City Chiefs next. On Sunday, on a short week.
And I'm glad they have them next. I'm glad they're playing a great team. And not that you should not be motivated, but I'm so glad they're not playing like the Jets or somebody like that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad they're playing them. Because you know they're probably going to have to put up 30-plus to win that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It should be a great game. That should be one of the most entertaining games of the day.
Should be.
Or the year, really.
But
should be.
Do you have a feeling that it might not be? I mean, you got to think.
No, I think, again, they're going to, you know, every time they've lost, they rebounded well. It's this question of, I don't.
I mean, if the Saints beat them that bad just 2 weeks ago, well, how about what's Kansas City?
Yeah, you can't. But you can't do that.
No, I can't. But the reason I do is because you got like primo quarterbacks on both teams and teams that have well-run offenses. I mean, it could go south on them in that game too. It should be a good game. It might not.
It should be a good game. I expect it to be a good game. And but again, they have one thing that the Buccaneers have done this year is rebound well after a loss. So
yeah. All right, Chris in Naples apparently wants to criticize my critique for putting Ohio State in the red alert. Chris, welcome to Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you?
I'm doing very well until I heard that comment.
What comment specifically?
I just moved down here from Ohio about 5 days ago.
Oh, welcome to Southwest Florida.
All right.
Yeah, I lived here for about 14 years, and I was dumb and moved back to Ohio.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm back.
Yeah.
And so my comment is that I don't know how you can say Justin Fields stinks. He went into the game with only 11 incompletions mm-hmm. in three games.
Yeah.
He had a bad game. Everybody has a bad game. I think I've seen the GOAT up there in Tampa have quite a few.
But Chris, you're not new to the show, right?
Yeah, you're new to the show.
Are you new to the show?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You have to understand something.
Let me, may I?
Go ahead.
Okay, Craig is an IU alum. This is like Candyland for him. He bragged all last week that not only was Indiana going to cover, but they were going to win. So you got to take a little bit of what he's saying, kind of tongue-in-cheek. Tom Allen is an excellent coach, but don't believe me, Chris.
Oh, he's a great coach, and I'm happy for Indiana.
He's
and we all have crosses to bear in life, but, to say that Justin Fields stinks, I mean, I hate the squealers, but, I can't even say a nice thing about them. But anyways, Justin Fields is going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL.
I know, but you just said it yourself. He only had three incomplete passes all year, and then he threw three to the Hoosiers last week because our defense dominates.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he had a bad game. What can I say?
I know.
He had a bad game, and they still won. What does that tell you?
Exactly.
We all know.
Now, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Chris. See, give the show a couple more weeks. You'll figure it out. You'll figure about me and Indiana. And also that my other whipping boys are Georgia, from which Justin Fields came from. So there's our audience knew where I was going. You'll figure it out eventually. But we welcome you here to Southwest Florida. Thank you for listening.
As you know, Chris, there's more Ohio State fans down here than maybe any other team.
Well, I went to the sports page down here, and there was a lot of, and then I went to a Browns game over at the other place, and there must have been 50 Browns fans there. It was crazy.
Yep.
It was like old home week to me.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. You'll enjoy the program. I promise you. We have a lot of fun here, and I hope you're a regular caller because I think you'll enjoy it.
You'll hear from me a lot then.
Excellent.
All right. Welcome aboard.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Welcome back to the neighborhood.
I know. See,
that's so
garlic cake testing in. He doesn't get the show. I know he didn't get the show. That's okay.
Like four Chris's, and a lot of them, a couple of them in Naples, so I wasn't sure. But
I know, we got
right when he knew, when he started justifying, I said, this guy has not listened before. Because
he doesn't get it. That's okay. It takes time.
When you start talking about Ohio State and Justin Fields, you, Craig Sheeman, then, you know.
Also, previous Chris. Also, by the way, I'm originally from Michigan, too, so there's going to be some Ohio State stabs, even though, look, I know scoreboard the last few years hasn't been too spiffy. So just take it with a grain of salt. Have fun with it.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Let's go back to the phones.
I rip Michigan more than anybody, and because of Harbaugh.
Breaking news. We got another Chris on the line. Here's Chris. Every caller's name Chris. This always happens. Chris from Fort Myers. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
What's happening?
How are you?
So I was just listening to you guys on the radio, and I had to call because I'm going to be that guy. Justin Fields is not a good quarterback, and he will not be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Why do you think that?
You name me one Ohio State quarterback that has done anything in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins last year. All I heard that last year. Oh, Dwayne Haskins is going to be the guy. He's going to take the Redskins or the Washington football team to the next level. Mm-hmm. They got his wide receiver. They're going to be good. Now, they want nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Look at, what is it, JT Barrett, never did anything. Cardale Jones, never did anything. You name me one Ohio State quarterback that has done anything in the NFL.
All right, let me throw this at you.
Hold on, he kind of has a point, Pete.
Well, look, yeah, but do you really? But Justin Fields seems like he's in a bit of a different league. In fact, there are some people out there, you've heard him, that said they would take him over Trevor Lawrence. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think that's ridiculous.
But Chris, we had the same people were saying the same thing about Tua. Oh, a left-handed quarterback out of Alabama, not since Joe Namath, yada yada. So, what were your feelings about Tua?
So my thing is, I like Tua, but the problem was the injury was a concern. And I agree. I don't like left-handed quarterbacks. I don't know what it is. It's different. It's just one of those things where you kind of sit there and you go, okay, it looks weird. And, you know, like the last one that I remember being so good was Michael Vick. I mean, that was the last one that I remember watching up growing up was Michael Vick.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think Ohio State has so much talent on the field that the quarterback play, it can be decent, and he'll be a first-round draft pick. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you this. I respect your analysis, but let me ask you this. Joey Burrow, he set every record in America last year with LSU. A lot of people questioned what he would be like because he didn't have all those weapons at Cincinnati, yada, yada, yada. He was having a pretty good season. Did you like Joey Burrow at LSU? And what did you think about when did you have those same kind of feeling when he came to Cincinnati that he was going to struggle?
Well, it just makes me laugh at the Ohio State people to let Joey Burrow just walk out the door like that, if you think about it. He lit it up in LSU, and you sit there and go, you picked this guy, Justin Fields, who had a horrible game against Indiana, over Joe Burrow, who lit it up in LSU, won a national championship, and was the first-round draft pick. I mean, thank God. Let's just hope that this kid can come back from this injury. But I like Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow kind of set the world on fire, just kind of telling everybody, this is my attitude.
Yeah.
I'm a winner, and that's the way it is.
I think there's some there to your comments. I really do. Chris, thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Chris. So he would be not a Boomer Esiason fan nor a Kenny Stabler fan. How about Jim Zorn? I'm thinking all the lefty quarterbacks that he would hate. He's an anti-lefty.
He is. But, you know.
That's why I don't like Tua, because he's left-handed. I think Chris isn't here.
Oh, yeah. Chris would lose it. You know, Michael Vick didn't start off great as a passer either.
No.
Obviously, explosive as a runner, but he was a much better passing quarterback when he went to the Eagles much later in his career. But anyway. All right. That was fun. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776 is the phone number. And also, coming up in a moment, we've got Master Pete Theater.
Yeah.
A selection that...
It's a classic. Okay. You guys will love this one.
All right. So we'll do that. We still have some NFL sound to get to. Brian Flores talking about Tua and the decision he made. Mike Norvell taking a shot versus Dabo. We'll do all of that. Plus, hurricane season is almost over. It's almost over. And the end of the year is a great time to shop homeowners insurance with Damon Briss Farmers Insurance. And then once you get your homeowners taken care of, bundle everything else with it, and you just start saving with discounts left and right. You bundle and save with the flood insurance, the auto insurance, the toys in the garage. Bundle them with your home and save and get better coverage, too. Damon Brist, Farmers Agency in Southwest Florida, he was the first one there. And he's still the fastest-growing farmers agent in the country. Call him today. It's still business hours. In fact, he's open right now. Call him up. Say, Damon, Craig at ESPN told me to give you a call. Save me money. And he will. It's 239-202-2933. 239-202-2933. The Damon Briss Agency, your farmer's insurance connection. I have personally switched my insurance policies to Damon Briss Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. I do need a whole lots of money.
Who doesn't?
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Have your health.
I seemingly do have my health. Yep. Thank you very much. We got Rick Church on the other side of the glass. No Chris today. He'll be back tomorrow. And then we got Pick-a-Palooza tomorrow, the greatest of the pigskin picks of the year. This is a four-year tradition like no other. But all that aside, it is time for Master Pete Theater, where middle-aged white guy Pete Shepard theatrically performs the lyrics of a rap song we may or may not have heard of. This one we have heard of. Yes. Borderline and, pop song, but also a little rap in it. Yeah. So well, take it away.
And this is this little ditty is about the state of relationships in the 2000s. It's about some people who stay together in relationships because of tradition, because somebody told them you guys are supposed to stay together. So this is my interpretation of "Hey Ya" by Outkast.
Oh, this is a good one.
And now, another Master Pete Theater reading.
"Hey Ya" by Outkast, as told to you by me.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. "My baby don't mess around because she loves me so. And this I know for sure. But does she really wanna? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, 'cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for Mom and Dad for sticking two together, 'cause we don't know how. Come on."
Wow.
"Hey ya. Hey ya. Hey ya. Hey ya. Hey ya.
Hey ya.
Hey ya. Hey ya. Hey ya. You think you've got it. Oh, you think you've got it. But got it. Just don't get it till there's nothing at all. We get together. Oh, we get together. But separate's always better when there's feelings involved. If what they say is nothing is forever, then what makes love the exception? So why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh,
oh,
are we so in denial when we know we're not happy here? Y'all don't want to hear me. You just want to dance. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. Don't want to meet your daddy. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. Just want you in my caddy. Uh-oh. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. Don't want to meet your mama. Uh-oh. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. Just want to make you come. Uh-oh. Hey, ya. Uh-oh. I'm just being honest. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hey, ya. I'm just being honest. Hey, all right now. All right now, fellas. Yeah. Now, what's cooler than being cool?
Me.
Ice cold.
Oh.
I can't hear you. I say, what's cooler than being cool? Ice cold. All right. 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 Okay, now, ladies. Yeah. Now we're going to break this thing down in just a few seconds. Now, don't have me break this thing down for nothing. Now I want to see y'all on your baddest behavior. Lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor.
Great line.
Ah, here we go. Shake it, shake it, shake it. Uh-oh. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. Uh-oh. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Hey, ya. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. Okay? Shake it, sugar. Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah.
Now all the Beyoncés and Lucy Liu's and baby dolls, get on the floor. You know what to do. Oh, you know what to do. You know what to do. Hey ya, uh-oh. Hey ya, uh-oh. Hey ya, uh-oh. Hey ya, oh-oh, uh-oh. Hey ya, uh-oh. Hey ya, uh-oh. The end. Goosebumps.
Right. I love that song.
Goosebumps.
Good tune. All right, Rick Church will pull that song. That'll be our rejoiner for the 4 o'clock hour. Stay with us. We'll hear from Brian Flores. Maybe some more Bruce Arians as well. Wikipedia at 4:45. And the Pete Shepherd Time Machine in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay with us.
I recommend you do not drive during that segment. You will be peeing your pants.
All that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.